It's time for another sports presentation right here on FortRecoveryRadio.com. Today's sports coverage is being brought to you by those community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Stay tuned. More sports coverage on its way.
We had connection problems today again from Jesse Owens Stadium in Columbus for the state track and field finals. Today there were numerous short and long discontinuations of our broadcast. For the most part, Greg LeFevre will try to catch you up on everything you missed, and there are several recaps of the day's events during today's broadcast. We're very sorry about the connection problems, and we are trying to work to make sure they do not happen on any future broadcasts. Please enjoy today's state track and field finals from Columbus.
So we're back. Had a little technical difficulty, but we are back. The boys won 10 hurdles, just ran. Mogador's Connor Kerr came in first, so he's going to be a state championship at a 15:11 time. Connor Cage out of Mount Gilliard at a 15:21. Next up on the track is going to be the girls' 100. Girls' 100 will feature the girl that just won the state championship in the 110 hurdles, Calista Manns out of Grove City Christian. She's going to turn right back around and have the fastest time going into the girls' 100-meter dash at a 12:26. Local people, Kennedy Gephardt out of Fort Laramie is going to be in lane 6. She's going to be seated 3rd coming into today. Girl Zoe Mosier, Malvern, is going to be seated 2nd. So again, Calista Manns in lane 4, Zoe Mosier in lane 5, LeBray's Destiny Irvin is going to be seated third, and I apologize. Nope, she's going to be 4th, right behind Kennedy Gephardt out of Fort Laramie. So we'll keep an eye on Kennedy Gephardt. I believe she is going to be running 4 races today, so this will be the first of her 4.
And Mary Diller is listening in. She's the one that told us we were off the air, and I missed it because there was metering here, but there's a girl from Columbus Grove in lane 1, so we want to make sure it's
Riley Seibert,
and make sure we
lane 1.
Keep up on that, because I'm going to bet that Mary knows that family.
Yep, very likely. So shout out to all those that are listening. You can always send me a text, if you will, 419-852-2654. 2654. Send me a text. Tell me you're listening. Put your name out there on the air. So as soon as the finals here of the 100-meter dash is complete, then the first of the events for Fort Recovery will take place, and that'll be Robbie LeFevre. He will be running out of lane 1. In the 100-meter dash in the next race coming up, so just in about 2 minutes here.
And it looks like he's out there talking to the Collider runner.
Yep.
Buddies and rivals.
Josh Bierhoff, and we've talked him up as well. He has gotten faster and faster. Robbie was beating him consistently freshman and sophomore year. Last year was kind of a dead heat, and Bierhoff seems to have just made great progress this year and has knocked off Robbie a number of times, so he will be running out of lane 5, Justin Wright out of lane 4. So here off, the girls are off. Looks like lane 5. Lane 5, Zoe Mosier out of Malvern's got the lead. Lane 4 is closing. Girl from Columbus Grove, I'm going to say, is about 6, somewhere in that neighborhood.
5 or 6,
like,
somewhere in there. Yep.
Looks like Zoe Mosier out of Malvern is first at a 12:38. Grove City Christian out 12:43. That would be that Calista man. Destiny Irvin, 3rd out of LeBray at 12:52. Kennedy Gephardt out of Fort Laramie comes in 4th at a 12:73. Riley Seibert out of Columbus Grove is going to come in 6th. So the two girls that we may have a connection to, Fort Laramie, comes in 4th. Kennedy Gephardt and Riley Seibert out of Columbus Grove comes in 6th at a 12:84. So again, back to the boys 100. First Fort Recovery runner, Robbie LeFevre will run the first of his 4 races today. He's going to be coming in lane 1 at an 11:22. The top 2 seeds, Justin Wright out of Wellsville at a 10:79, Josh Bierhoff out of Clyde at a 10:81. So 0.02 of a second separate those two, and those would be your odds-on favorite. Then you're going to get to Garrett Walker out of North Milltown Springfield, I'm going to say, 11:06. Chillicothe Southern, Lane Ruby is his name, 11:07. Then there's an 11-10, 11-13, 11-22, another 11-22, which would be Robbie, and 11-24, Keegan Wilburn. Robbie didn't qualify as well. His personal best of all time is a 10-9-5, so he's going to have to get down into that 10-9-5 range if he wants to be, let's say, 3.
So
he's got some work to do.
Yeah, they're all
got some work to do.
Kind of doing a little stretching around and getting themselves ready.
So, again, for those of you guys who are unaware, these are timed races, meaning that the start time, I said that yesterday, is at a time that they designate, and they'll try to keep on that schedule as much as they can. I believe this one is scheduled for 9:43, which is what the clock just started to show. So they're getting the runners in their spots. Robbie is backing into the blocks, getting himself all set.
He's in lane one.
Yep. So we will keep an eye on. They're wearing their black uniforms today.
Yes.
Their Sunday black. Tigers got his Sunday red. Boys have their regional final black and now state final black. So we will catch that right off the bat this time. Last time we had trouble picking that up. Runners are up. Here they're off. Looked like a decent start for Robbie, but he's got some ground to make up. I'm going to say once he's about in fifth, maybe, somewhere in that neighborhood.
It's wow. Dead heat for fourth.
Lane four. Lane four, the Wellsville runner, Justin, right out of Wellsville, takes it pretty easily, actually. And he just ran a 10-6-9. Beerhoff ran a 10-9-7 in second. Lane Ruby at 11-16. Ottawa Hills, New Mountain, Springfield. Robbie Lefevre is going to come in sixth at 11:39. So he's going to come in sixth at 11:39. So kudos to Robbie making it down here to state.
Yeah, and the person ahead of him was 1/100th of a second ahead of him.
Yeah, maybe not as high up as what he would like to have been, but again, give him a lot of credit for making it down to state again. And I'm going to go back through and see if I can look. I think I've got his history here before I forget.
So Clayton, you did track a year or two. What events did you do? Are you doing track events, field events, or kind of anything and everything?
I did track events. I was more just to fill a spot. So I did the 4x8, the 800, and then either the 4x4 and or the 400. So I did the events that no one else wants to do.
The longer stuff.
Those are the worst events to do.
Yep, but I think Drew Mullenkamp loves them.
Oh, I don't blame him. He's very good at it.
He's really good. He's almost scary how good he is. We saw him turn it on in that last relay yesterday when we thought he might be wearing out and hanging on to third. He just shot past everybody and got the first place in the preliminaries. So we'll see how that goes.
So just for a little history, Robbie, that was his third race of the 100 meter in his career down here at state. Freshman year he came in and finished 10th. Sophomore year he did not make the 100 meter, but in 2018, last year's junior year, he came in, he ran an 11 flat for fifth place.
Yep.
So this year didn't quite have it. Again, what was it, 11:38 if I remember right?
Yes.
And came in
11:39, and the guy ahead of him at 11:38.
Okay.
And then two guys behind him tied at 11:44.
So Robbie's going to finish his senior year in the 100-meter dash, and an eighth-place finish is actually what it shows. He and Brandon Page both had an 11:22. Robbie actually had an 11:219, and he had a 2:15. So, again, so Robbie's going to finish that one in eighth. He will make the podium. So first of hopefully four opportunities for him to be up on the podium. The girls' 4x200 is out on the track, and they are starting to get ready.
Let's see, our next event will be
the boys 4x2, so right after this race.
Yep.
So girls 4x2, I'm trying to look at cheat here. Let's try to get
Layman Catholic in Fort Laramie.
It looks like Wheelersburg is going to run out of lane one, Cincinnati Country Day out of lane two, Rootstown, out of lane three.
Not familiar with that one.
West Liberty Salem is going to have your fastest seed time coming out of lane four at a 1:44.53. Archibald running out of lane five, Columbus Academy coming in lane six. Layman Catholic, as Clayton just said, is going to be running out of lane seven. Fort Laramie is going to be running out of lane eight. and Gilmore Academy is going to be running out of Lane 9. So Fort Laramie, Lane, and Catholic are going to be your two schools that we have some connection to.
Gilmore Academy is where the CYO girls played their state games at.
That's a good point. We were out there. You're
yep.
right.
Yep.
Yep. So for Fort Laramie, we've got Alyssa Rassman, junior. Anna Dietrich is a freshman. Be the second leg. Third leg will be Aaron Chaney, a senior, and Kennedy Gephardt, who we just saw in the 100-meter dash, is going to take up the anchor leg and bring it home. She is a junior.
Just a second ago, I saw Robbie's brother Adam come in with Kyle Schreer. I'm pretty sure they were probably down close looking, and then right after that, they came up here and sat down with the rest of our Purple Army.
We have got a sea of purple down here. Big shout out to all the fans who made it down here to Columbus.
There's about five or six rows right square in the middle, about five or six rows up.
Yep. So, again, a couple hundred people possibly, all wearing purple. It's great to see a lot of purple.
Yep.
But our track guys are wearing black today. Always got to remember that.
Yeah, I'm not going to wear black today. That's hot.
So the 4x2, next race after the girls, and we'll try to call that as we go along. The boys 4x2 will be next. And, of course, Fort Recovery. I think they've got some designs on placing really high.
Yes.
Riley Pearson, Jared Timmerman, or sorry, Jacob Atchison, Butch Shane, and Robbie Lefevre will be the four Fort Recovery runners coming in on the 4x2. Girls are off. I always hate calling it early because the stagger is so tough to tell who actually has come out very strong.
It seems like the spacing is just about the same all the way through. So a couple of them have made a little bit of ground, but for the most part, it looks like they're all kind of just hanging in there.
Yep, so the girls are coming around. It looks like a bunch of clean handoffs. The handoffs are the one thing. So Fort Recovery in the 4x2, we'll kind of talk about the boys as we're getting ready here. The boys last year ended up with a DQ. They had a dropped baton last year. So they need to shed those demons this year and make sure that that does not happen this year.
And they've done well all season long, and I'm pretty sure this won't be an exception to that.
Yep, I'm sure they will do well.
They have. That is something that they have worked on, and that will not be a problem. We had a couple yesterday that weren't real clean, but it wasn't anything bad.
So again, 4x2 girls are out on the track. Fort Laramie out there in lane 7. Sydney Lehman in lane 6. Handoffs are pretty clean, but the inside lanes at that point in time are going to have them. So we are coming down to the final stretch. Lane 4, which is Cincinnati Country Day, had the best seed time coming in. And lane 2, lane 4 and lane 2 are absolutely a dead heat. Archibald and Cincinnati Country Day! Wow, I'm going to say too close to tell.
Yeah, they both did a little stumble right at the end trying to lean, and I think they both...
I'm sorry, West Liberty Salem, I said Cincinnati Country Day. West Liberty Salem with a 144.24, and Cincinnati Country Day with a 144.25. One hundredth of a second. Just separated state champion in second place.
Lehman's fifth and Fort Laramie sixth.
Yep, Lehman came in fifth with a 146.02. Fort Laramie at a 146.77 is going to come in sixth. West Liberty Salem, and they were the favorites coming in at a 144.24.
Big cheer for the guys coming out, getting ready for their 4x100.
So the boys are making it.
4x2.
So again, a little recap on the boys, 4x2. They came yesterday at a 129.33, and that is going to put them in the third place seed. So they were the third fastest time coming in. So again, they've got designs.
Yes.
They've got designs that they believe they want to be high up on that medal podium.
Yes.
They're going to be running out of lane 6.
And I think they, when they... On qualification day, when you in the preliminaries, sometimes, and I don't know, I didn't talk to them, I didn't pay that much attention, but sometimes if they know they're going to make it to the finals, they will let up a little bit and could be a second or two quicker in the finals than they are in the preliminaries. That isn't always true, and for Drew Mullenkamp in the 4x4, he gave it everything he had because he had he had disappointed himself only coming in ninth in the individual 400, and he turned it on and just blew people away when he didn't need to at all. But that is his personality. That's what he's going to do, and he wasn't holding back. Sometimes they'll hold back, and I don't remember from yesterday if it looked like they're holding back a little bit on this or not, but they're highly seated and doing well, so I think we're going to be just fine.
Yep. So, again, other local competitors, Covington is going to be in there, and Kaleida is going to be in there. I believe those are the only other fairly close.
Yep.
So, again, Columbiana Crestview is going to be running out of lane 4. They have the fastest seed time yesterday of 1:28.
What was ours again?
We were at 1:29.88. So about a second and almost 2 seconds. New Middletown Springfield is going to be at a 1:29.12. Then Fort Recovery again at the 1:29.88. Kaleida, Josh Bierhoff bringing up his anchor leg at a 1:31.25. Cleveland Villa Angela St. Joseph, 1:31.26, right behind Kaleida. Then Afrocentric, Milford Center Fairbanks, Gahanna, Columbus Academy, and Covington are going to round out. So again, we're going to be looking at lanes 4, 5, and of course Fort Recovery in lane 6. Those are going to be your three fastest times. We'll do back a little history while we've got the chance. So in 2016, so Robbie's freshman year, Robbie qualified in the 100, and then he turned around and did the 4x2, just like we're doing here today. That was the group that, I'll say, helped get everything started in Fort Recovery track from the boys' side.
Football guys
came out. Tanner Cook, Robbie, Caleb Martin, Wes Wenning. So those four came out, and they
Speedy
made it
Shane
to state.
Would float in and out of there sometimes.
Speedy ran the 4x1.
Yep. He was in several of those relays, and you know, those guys were not exactly interchangeable, but they just worked out really well that those four guys came out and ran with Robbie and all kinds of things that year. And kind of got a lot of people paying attention to our Fort Recovery track.
Absolutely.
Team.
So they came in 13th that year. They didn't qualify for the Saturday finals. They came in 13th. The 17 year, we did not make it down here. We had all freshmen and sophomores from what I remember. By junior year then, or excuse me, last year would be Robbie's junior year. We qualified 7th for the state, qualified 7th for Saturday's finals. And then ended up dropping the baton on one of the exchanges, and so we had a DQ, so we officially qualified 9th. Didn't get any medals at that point. But we were at a 1:31.3 back then. Now, again, this year we ran a 1:29.88 coming in. So they're getting faster. 1:29.84 won state last year. So you never know. You never know.
So say that again on an hour.
We're at 1:29.88, and last year 1:29.84 won state. So we're right there. We are state champion time.
Yeah.
So it's all going to be about handoffs.
Oh yeah.
How they feel this morning.
Yep. And yesterday it seemed like, except for one, maybe two, all of those exchanges and everything went well.
So here we're off. Riley Pearson coming out of the blocks for us. They're looking strong. It looks like looking at the staggers and stuff, where the staggers are pretty steady.
Yep.
I will say that lane 4, they seem to be making up the stagger, and that's going to be your fastest. That's going to be the fastest. Come on, Riley, keep her up. Here we go. First handoff looks very clean to Jacob. I'm going to put us in the top three right now.
Long legs going, Jacob.
Come on, Jacob. He's got such a strong track here. Let's keep it up. But lanes 4 and 5, which are going to be your fastest, are making up on the stagger, and they were before. Looks like lane 5 is now making up some time. Middletown, Springfield, Columbiana, Crestview. Those handoffs through 4, 5, and 6 are all about dead even. Which means that puts us a little bit behind because we've got to catch because we're coming around on a little longer track. Come on, Butch. So I'm going to put us somewhere, let's say 4th at this point in time, I would say is where
right
we are.
Yep.
Come on, Butch. Clean handoff to Robbie and go. Robbie, go. But boy, I'll tell you what, 4 and 5 are going to be tough. We're not going to catch 4 and 5.
Robbie.
Come on, Robbie.
Put those legs out there.
Make strides. See Deerhoff on the outside. He's going to come. Come on, Robbie. So first and second, they're out pretty far. They're going to, looks like we're going to take first and second. Fort Recovery looks like they're going to finish third.
Go,
Robbie's got a pretty good lead on fourth and fifth. Yep, we're going to take third place in the 4x200. 4x200, where Fort Recovery is going to come home with a third place finish, high up on the podium. So Columbiana Crestview ran a 127.71. Wow. That's a fast time. New Middletown Springfield ran a 128.4, and then Fort Recovery comes in third with a 130.2. Columbus Academy at a 130.82. Fairbanks at a 139.2. Afrocentric, Cleveland, Villa St. Joe, Covington, and Kaleida came in at the end at number 9, so they're going to miss off on the podium. So what a great, good result, best result ever for the boys, Fort Recovery boys, in the 4x200. Third place finish, a 130. You know, what was it? 130.2?
Yeah, 0.20.
And, guys, that was our regional finals time to the penny. 130.2, which was the school record as well. So they've got the school record twice at a 130.2. And a third place finish up on the podium today.
And it gives us 6 points, correct?
And that gives us 6 points. And Neil, that is great that you even bring that up, because that speaks, you know, we are looking for, what about a team? What about a team state championship?
Yeah, that's never been in the discussion before, because we didn't have enough participants. Enough events that we're participating in to even, you know, if we won everything, we couldn't have done it anyway. But now, that's a goal.
Yep.
That Columbia Crestview broke the state meet record.
Really?
The record was 127.86, and they ran 127.71.
Wow.
So that was faster than fast. Very impressive.
Yeah, they looked strong, but yep, guys, Clayton, thank you for finding that out right away. They just broke the state record in the 4x2. So
he was paying attention to the announcers here, and we were jabbering.
Well, I realized that on the very first runner, because the runner in lane 4 was already up to Riley by the time they handed off.
He was making up stagger fast.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. So at this point in time, the next event on the day should be the girls' 1600 meter run. A couple local people, Minster has Caitlin Albers, and Minster always going to have somebody in the long run. Kaleida's got a girl, Kenzie Fortman will be out there. Other than that, the only two that will make a lot of sense to local people is there are two runners from Peebles. One's a freshman, one's a senior. The senior is Jenny Sees, and the freshman is Katie Sees, and I believe that would be the former superintendent over in Coldwater.
Rich, I believe, was his name. He got the job done. Can't remember the name of that school. I guess it is Peebles.
I was thinking of that. I guess it's Peebles.
I think it's one of those with the combination names. But so he got that job down there. Now his daughters are running there.
So we'll try to cheer them on as time allows here. The next up for Fort Recovery, the next event should be the 4x100 relay. Yep. So right after the 1600-meter relay, we're going to go to the 400-meter relay, the 4x100. They call it the 400 relay in the program, which always you have to stop and do the math and divide by four.
Yeah.
So I looked down and read that and realized that's what they're talking about here.
Yeah, it kind of trips me up when they say, like, the one-mile relay and stuff like that. It just... I don't know. I'm just used to saying 4x4 or 4x1.
I'd never heard that terminology before, so that would mess me all up. I'm with the 4x whatever the distance is.
So again, third place finish for Fort Recovery's boys in the 4x200 relay, and that was Riley Pearson handing off to Jacob Atchison, handing off to Butch Shane, handing off to Robbie Lefevre. In the 4x100, we'll swap out. Jared Timmerman will come in off of his state participation in the long jump and the new school record in the long jump from last night. He will come in and take up Jacob Atchison's spot, and then Butch Shane will run that third leg, and Robbie Lefevre will bring that one home again. So I believe they finished about, I think they are seated sixth, if I remember correctly. So if I can find the... seedings for that as we get getting ready for it here. Boys 4x100. Fort Recovery is going to be running out of lane 7. Columbiana Crestview that just won, right? They Columbiana Crestview won the 4x2, are going to be back, and they're going to be seated number 2, actually, at a 43.4, whereas Ottawa Hills is going to be number 1 at a 43.39. Sorry, 43.30 for Ottawa Hills, 43.39 for Columbiana Crestview. Youngstown Valley at a 43.40. Trinity at a 43.50. And Fort Recovery at a 44.08, and Northmart a 44.06. So they're going to be seated 6 coming in. Now, they had a couple really bobbled handoffs, and they admitted that. I think you heard Riley Pearson, if you listened yesterday. Riley Pearson brought up that they had at least a few bobbled handoffs yesterday. So every bobbled handoff, I'm going to say, is a tenth of a second somewhere in that neighborhood. So they've got some room to move. They got some room to move here. They could get down in that, you know, 43 range. Again, we were at 44.08. They can be in the 43.8 range or 43.7 range, which is going to put them right in the thick of things. So, looking forward to see that.
So, we have a little bit of time here, don't we?
Do
you
we
want
do.
To play the thing
four by one?
Jared's.
Oh, for Jared, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's about 6 minutes. I need to do a couple of things here with my phone, so it's going to take me 10, 15 seconds here. But if we can just hang on. So if you got something you can do for about half a minute there, Greg, I'll have this ready to go here.
So we'll talk about the races we have coming up. Yet the 4x100 relay, as we just talked about, will be the next race that we are doing shortly. And then the boys 400, the open by itself, that's Drew Mollenkamp. He'll be coming up in approximately 25 minutes. Girls 800, Kiara Wendell. It'll be the only girls race of the day. The two girls relay teams that both qualified, the 4x800 and the 4x4, both were unable to make it here. 4x8 was a final, so you can't say that they were going to make it, but the 4x4, unfortunately, did not make it here to Saturday. So the only girls race of the day is going to be Kiara Wendell, so she should be fresh running the 800. And she's got a shot. I believe she's seated somewhere in that sixth range or something, but her time is within 2 seconds. And in an 800 race, you make up a little bit of ground. So there's 6 of them all within that 2 second area. And then Robbie Lefevre will come back on the boys 200. That'll be his 4th race of the day. So we'll see how his legs are holding up at that point. And then the boys 4x4. And if you guys listened yesterday, that one, we finished first. We are seated first in the boys 4x4. And boy, when the adrenaline's running at that point, that should be a fun race.
Yeah, as far as Kiara goes, her regional time was 2:19.20, and the fastest time out of regionals was 2:16.63, okay. So about 2.5 seconds. But in an 800,
yep,
especially at a place like this.
That's right, and she had run in the 4x8 earlier that day at the other time. So, you know, legs are fresh,
okay.
First race out. She's got a good night's sleep. So the girls 1600 to be 4 lapses off. They all start in the lanes, and they have to stay in their lanes, I believe, for about a lap and a half, and then they can waterfall down and try to get to the front. So it's a little, sorry, I guess it's only the half lap. They do it on the 3200, it's a lap and a half. So they've waterfalled down. Pretty tough to tell. We got lots of different uniform colors out there. So Robbie is down on the podium, getting his medal, coming in 6th. So if I get my math right, Robbie, this after today, he will have competed in 14 state track and field events. 14 out of a possible 16. So that's a pretty good track career.
Knowing Robbie, I'm sure he's disappointed with this 6th place finish, but he has done more for our school's track program than anyone else has, and I think that in itself is definitely something to hang your hat on, because it's
he's brought a lot of excitement to it. Exactly. There's no doubt. There's absolutely no doubt. And so has everyone else. He just happened to be that first one of the group.
Yeah. He came here his freshman year, and he was with a good group of juniors and seniors, but now his junior and senior, he was with guys his age and
younger.
It's just really neat to see.
Absolutely.
I do have that ready to go here.
While we're going to the girls 1600, and we'll come back and try to give you updates when it's done, but while we're here, I'm going to play a little clip from Jared's long jump.
And so it's three different jumps, so there's stops, but there's not actually stops. The recording continues, but there's three separate jumps here, so... We're working on it here. It should be going, but it doesn't seem to be. So had it going earlier. Let me see if I can do it this way. That would be something else.
While Neil's figuring out technical difficulties.
Yep, thought I had it.
We are joined up here in the booth by Mr. Owen Mormon.
Hi, Owen. Doing good. How about you guys?
Good. Put that a little closer to your mouth there. Owen is going to be part of, I got to remember which leg you are of that.
I'm the opening leg.
You are the opening leg of the number one seated 4x4. So we're probably, 2 hours, 2.5 hours away?
I think we're set to run at 12.
Right at noon. So anybody wants to tune in 2 hours from now. So Owen's up here hobnobbing with the crowd, trying to keep the butterflies low, right?
Yep. Sounds about right.
Guys, hopefully had just, nice dinner and kind of hung out last night, refreshed the legs a little bit.
Well, with the lightning delay last night, we got home a little late.
Didn't think about that. So you guys were probably hanging out watching Jared do the long jump. So what'd you do during that time? Because there was, 2 hour delay, something?
We just kind of sat around, and some of them played cards, and other people were just talking and whatnot, socializing.
Yep. We dodged raindrops for a while.
Yeah.
It rained hard.
It was raining.
For about 10, 15 minutes, it rained hard. So I think I do have it here, Greg. I believe I have it this time.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and throw it on there. You know what? How long of a clip is it?
6 minutes.
Is that too much? Nope, go ahead.
You got the boys' mind.
It's on 9 and 10.
Oh, okay.
We are at the state track meet getting ready to watch Jared Timmerman long jump. He is the next jumper in line. A couple things we're going to be looking for Jared today. The past few weeks, what he's really been working on is getting some height with his jump and finishing his landing. Jared has a tendency to put his feet down about 6 to 8 inches earlier than maybe he should. And so we've been working a lot on those couple things to get his length a little bit longer. One thing that one of Jared's big strengths, and that Carl notices quickly, is he runs the runway much quicker than most other jumpers here. And he uses that to...
So we're going to come back live for just a second because they're just finishing the 1,600-meter run. It looks like a girl from Springfield Central Catholic is going to win in a time of 4:56. West Liberty Salem is going to come in second at 5:01. Badger is third. Holgate is fourth. The top four here. Whoa, we had one girl. She darn near looked like she collapsed.
Yep, she's down.
She is tired. Springfield Central Catholic also came in fifth. Gilmore Academy, sixth. There's Caitlin Albers. Adam Minster is going to come in seventh at a 5:13. And then girl from Kaleida at a 5:15 is going to come in eighth. So Minster, Kaleida, seventh and eighth. And then the Seas girls. Katie Seas comes in eighth. Just want to keep you guys updated on people who are out there listening to try to catch some of the last runners. From the local runners that you may know. Again, Springfield Central Catholic in a 4:56. That's a pretty darn good time. Last year's winner actually was Emma Watke out of Minster at a 5-minute flat. And then Emma Watke, their family moved out to Illinois. So she was in the state finals of the Illinois race, and I didn't follow to see how she did. Looks like Jenny Seas did not start is what it shows. I was looking for the other people.
Yeah.
So the senior did not start. I believe Katie is the freshman, and she came in eighth. So again, Minster 7th, if I, again, remember that correctly, Minster, Caitlin Albers came in 7th. Fort Minata Kalida came in 8th. Okay, Neil, let's go ahead and go back to that as the boys get started here.
Yep. I think this is where he's getting ready to do his jump here.
Advantage to use his momentum. What Jared really needs to do is get some height and so that momentum can carry him a little bit further. He's here, moving up now. This is his first attempt. First attempt is a good one. Don't measure that.
Good job, Jared. Hey, thanks for that down.
That's more good.
Jared's first attempt was a 20'11¼, and that would be his PR by about 3-4 inches. So Jared had a very, very good first attempt. He did kind of exactly what we were hoping he would. The only thing he needs to do is his feet came out under him a little bit earlier than I would like. And if he can keep his feet out a little longer, he's going to have that 21-foot mark, which is going to be crucial in this meet. Jared is going to be attempting his second jump here in just a minute. There's one jumper in front of him again. As of that first jump, in the first flight, Jared is sitting 3rd. And there's been a couple real good jumps. Jared is definitely capable of getting out there. He just needs to put a few things together. As Jared gets ready for this next jump, you might hear some heckling in the crowd. We're having issues getting people to move for our crowd to be able to see. And even Jared's parents are having a hard time seeing their child jump. Very crowded down here, I think, with the delay and everything. All right, here's Jared's second attempt. He's approaching. He's got good speed. He came down just a little early on him, but he got some real good height there. Let's see what his distance is. He just got 21.5. Let's see, I have to flash up on the board. Twenty-one feet, 1.5. He broke the 21-foot barrier. That's awesome for Jared. We are getting ready to start us our jumps now. Jared is very excited. His goal for the day really was to get 21 feet, and he exceeded that by 1.5 inches and now has set a new school record by 0.5 inch. It was 21'1", and Jared managed that 21'1½. So we're very excited, Jared. Very excited. He's excited for the third jump to see what he can push out here, right here at the end. Jared's going to be getting ready for his third jump here in a second. I just went over and talked to him after that second jump, and he's very excited about his 21'1½, and he told me this one he can't wait to go all out for, because he already reached his goal for the day of 21. He set a new school record, and this one he's really going to try to push some length and really just go all out. Yep. All right, Jared is getting ready to approach for his third attempt. Oh, he was a little over. Now they could pretty good jump. But pushed it a little far. He was over the board, but he still jumped his PR so far, so that was great. All right, I got Jared here. Let's see what his reaction is, especially to that second jump. All right, Jared, how do you feel about that?
It was a great jump. I mean, I did all I could. I was going all out, and I'm just happy to hit a 21.
Yeah, happy to hit that 21 kind of foot barrier that Jared's been aiming for now for quite a while, and he got over it. And what a better time to do that than at State.
Yep, we're back. So, again, Jared, what a great race yesterday. So the boys are coming down on their very last. Wow, we got Fort Laramie in first and third in a dead heat. We're talking a dead sprint.
Wow.
The guy from third may take first.
Wow.
The guy from Fort Laramie is going to take first and maybe third. 404. Who's 404?
That is impressive.
He's number 404. It's Jake Rathman, the senior out of Fort Laramie. Passed everybody at the very end.
Now he was in third.
He was in third, passed everybody at a 4:23.88. East Canton was 4:24.20. And Fort Laramie's Joe Ballas comes in third at 4:24.28.
Wow.
It was almost a Fort Laramie 1-2 finish. So any Fort Laramie fans listening out there, wow, Jake Ruffman first, Joe Ballas came in third.
And Ballas was first coming by the grandstands with East Canton right on his tail and getting ready to pass him. And on the outside, the other Warner guy came around and passed both of them, and the East Canton runner is down. He went down right away. He's just now getting up.
Yep.
Legs are rubber.
Legs are jelly. So while we were off air there for just a little bit, the boys 4x2 were up on the podium getting their medals for coming in third place. So third place overall in the state. What a great accomplishment for the 4x2. So boys, that was an exciting race.
That one was.
That's why you come down. Head sprints, the last little bit. Third place, passing second and first to get first, and you could hear it in the crowd that it was.
We apologize. Technical difficulties back at the station, back in Fort Recovery. Picked the perfect time to have issues.
Wow.
Okay, so let's do a recap. Of course, we know. So when we left off, the boys 400 with Drew Mollenkamp was running. And actually, we recorded that. Owen Mormon, give him kudos for quick thinking, recorded it on his phone. And we will play that here in a little while.
We're inserting Owen Mormon's recording of Drew Mollenkamp's 400-meter dash, just to be sure that it's in the proper order in the archives.
Set.
Go ahead and set. He's off. Taking off strong, pulling away from lane 8. And he looks like he's leading the pack pretty well. Exactly where he needs to be for lane 9. Coming at the 200-meter mark, and he's cruising. He is still leading. Let's just hope he doesn't die out here. I know he's got the endurance. Let's go, Drew. Let's go, Drew. All right, it's going to come down to the last 100. They're all coming in here. Come on here, Drew. All right, come on, Drew. All right, looks like Lane 4's got this. And Drew's sitting at 9. Come on, Drew. I know you got this. Let's go, Drew. Let's go, Drew. There's an end, maybe going to get, ooh, and he gets 9. Good finish. Good finish. Now let's see Garrett Walker with a time of 49.25. Wow, that's good. Top 4 all with sub 50. Getting 5th place, we got 50.1. 7, we got 50.27. 8th, we got a 50.44, and Drew Mollenkamp with a 50.7, getting a 9th place. Good for him.
Unfortunately, Drew didn't have his normal kick at the very end. He actually came in 9th, so he actually missed the podium. He's one of 9 runners in there, and he finished in the 9th spot.
Now, was he seated 9th also coming in?
He was seated 9th as well coming in.
Yep.
So I think he had designs there to come a little stronger than that.
And I just turned around and glanced while we were trying to fix our problems, and it looked sort of like the the seed times were exactly right. It looked like it came in like 4-5-3. Those lanes came in first, second, third, and ninth came in ninth, and looked like everybody kind of followed their seed in that one.
Drew, I'm sure a little disappointed, but maybe that fuels a little fire for the 4x4 a little bit later today. So let's focus, though, on where we're at now, because Kiara Wendell, Fort Recovery's lone girl participant here today on Saturday morning, Kiara's going to run in the 800-meter final. Kiara comes in with a seat time of 2:19.20. The top time is a 2:16.51, and that would be Madeline Magato out of Minster. So number one seed coming into today is going to be Madeline Magato out of Minster. There's another girl just right on her heels at a 2:16.63 out of Archibald, Gwen Riley. But Kiara's going to be, I believe it was seated around 7th, 8th, if I remember correctly. And she's going to run out of lane 6. Is going to be 6B. And it's funny because the girl in 6A, so there's two girls in lane 6. The girl on the left is wearing purple. So I thought that was Kiara. She's got a little ponytail. But Kiara's on the right. Oh, wow. That was the fastest gun I think I've ever seen. They said, on your mark, and they fired the gun, like, immediately. And I think it caught Kiara by surprise.
Yeah, it definitely did. Beside her took off.
Caught me by surprise. They shot the gun the second they said, on your mark. So Kiara did not get a chance to kind of jump out in front, which she normally likes to do.
I'm glad you said she's in black, because I was definitely watching the girl in the purple.
Right, we were looking at lane 6, saw a girl in purple, assumed it's Kiara. I'm trying to catch Kiara. She's on about turn 3, and I'm going to put her in about 6th place right now. She's got to stay in her lane until they get down to the 300 out of the 800 mark, and that's when you can waterfall down. So here they go, and they're going to start fading down in the lanes.
She's pacing real well.
She is. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. She's in about 7th place, and they're packed. So, you know, it's more about lap traffic right now, because she's got nowhere to move, if you will. She's going to have to stay out in about lane 2 to try to start to pass anybody. So she's falling into lane 1, which you would expect. Everybody's down pretty much lane 1. The first 7 people, which includes Kiara, are kind of bunched together. Now the first, they're going to start to widen that just a little bit. So they're spreading out just a touch. We've got 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th. F. Kiara's in 7th. She's probably about 15 meters now behind 1st place. And the girl in 1st place is the girl in the purple uniform that started in Kiara's lane. The 6A, that is Mount Gilliard.
Let's go,
so
Kiara.
She's coming along. Here comes Madeline Magato from Minster. She is trying to chase her down. Kiara has moved up, looks like 6th, 7th. She's in a fight back in that position.
She's starting to lag behind.
Yep, she's pushing everything she's got, but she doesn't have that kick that she normally has. Her leg is absolutely dead. 9th is what we got?
Yep.
What a shame. That's one spot off podium.
She was about as close to collapsing across the finish line as you can. So much into that.
Yeah. If there had been 10 more meters, she wouldn't have made it.
Yeah, and you can see 1, 2, 3, 4 girls laying on the track, absolutely collapsed and dead.
It's definitely gotten hot out here.
Yeah, those girls. So we got Allison Johnson out of Mount Gilliard at a 2:10. Madeline Magato of Minster comes in 2nd at a 2:12.94. Trinity Fowler out of flip screens on me here.
She took nearly a second off of her regional time, too.
Is that right?
So,
well, the last race, you might as well give it everything you've absolutely got.
Yep. She had a 2:19.20 in regionals. I think she ran a 2:18.3.
At the end. So, again, Kiara, and they're just putting the final time in 31. 2:18.31. 2:18.31. by one spot. So, but we got a junior and a sophomore there. Kiera is a sophomore. Drew is a junior, so they will be back next year, and I am sure that will motivate. See anybody else local that's going to be in this race. So we'll try to keep an eye. We got Houston, Ethan Knuff, and he's got almost the same time as Joe Ballas. He's going to run out of 4B. So Fort Laramie and Houston are both going to run out of lane four. And there's the times were anywhere between 156 up to 159, so 3 seconds. So this, we would expect, and we saw this in the 1600 meter, is that they were absolutely staying in a pack for about 3 laps out of that, and then they started to separate. My guess is this is a two-lap race. I would guess you're going to see just an absolute pack the entire way. So the start is going to become absolutely critical for these guys, because you're going to want to try to get out in front so that you don't have to fight through the packs halfway through this race. If they look at the times, I think they will all have realized this, I'm sure. So they're going to start in their lanes. And at the 300-meter mark is when they're going to start to waterfall down. So they're going to have to go through, based on where they started, they're going to go through all four turns, and maybe three turns, and then you're going to start to see that waterfall effect coming out. And that's when we'll start to be able to know who's in first, who's in second, and where we are.
And we didn't have the quick draw that time.
Yeah, we didn't have the quick gun. I'd be really interested to talk to Kiera about that, because it caught her by surprise. You could see that moment hesitation. That gun went fast. So,
because she's run 100 races, and that's by far the quickest.
That's the fastest gun I've ever seen.
Ever, by a lot.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. 13 out of the 18 are basically bunched up in a really tight pack.
Yep.
At this point in time. East Canton, always easy to tell. They're out front with the bleach blonde hair.
Yep.
And again, they are two-time defending state champs as a team, so you know they're going to be strong.
Yeah, they have the blue trunks, white shirt, and bleach blonde hair.
So coming up, will run his last up here in about 11:20. So here we're coming around. It looks like East Canton in first. Looks like Ballas is back a little ways.
Oh, past East Canton.
Wow. Somebody had a kick. Sorry, I was looking to try to catch where Ballas was in Fort Laramie. And
from Fairfield,
a kid from Fairfield just absolutely looked like a dead sprint at the end. Passed him, 153.77, takes first.
I'm getting correct.
East Canton takes second.
I think this.
Maumee Valley kicks third. Fayette in fourth. Mount Gilead, Liberty Center.
I'm trying to get back on the air, but I'm back on. They saw a lot of that. Yeah, I think. I
haven't seen where Fort Laramie placed here.
So just want to throw something in here real quick. It seems like we're having technical difficulties, and we may not be. I'm trying to monitor in my ear on the off of the TuneIn app, and it's cutting in and out. And our screen that shows us what's going on back at the studio seems to be frozen. But I believe that we actually have been on the air, except when we turned the computer off and back on, and it didn't look like we were. So we're going to keep on going, even though it may be, unless we know for sure we're not broadcasting and we try to go back on. I don't know, we have to be outside and we're in the direct sun, so that may be our problem. Maybe the laptop might be getting a little warm, but we've got a little over an hour to go here. So
if anybody is out there listening, text us. Text me at 419-852-2654. We'd love to hear.
Yeah, just, and we'll give you a shout out if nothing else.
Yeah, but
let us know that we're coming in, and you can even make fun of us for some of the stupid things he said when I heard me saying we're not on the air, and we were.
The screen's caught up now, so.
Okay. So I'm hearing stuff in my ear, but it cuts out sporadically, but I think that's my phone. And then the laptop is freezing up. But I think the one at the studio is still working. So anyway.
So apologize for the technical difficulties.
So we've got the boys 200 coming up.
The boys 200 will be the next race. Girls 200. But first, and this is unique, and you won't see this, I don't think, anywhere else. This is what's called the seated division.
Yes.
The seated division are wheelchair bound, and they've got, I'll call it racing wheelchairs.
Yes.
And it looks like we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I know they ran some of these races yesterday as well.
They were going to finish them today because they just, it got late and they didn't want to, I think somebody decided that they were not going to make them run on the almost wet track. And it was already a 3-hour delay and so.
So this is an 800, so 2 laps around the track, and they are expected to stay in their lane, so they are controlling those chairs. Now on the 800, yeah, I forget there's a waterfall, and they're doing the waterfall effect now, so. But, boy, fun to see.
Yes.
Again, give these, the guys.
I believe that this might even be guys and girls.
I believe this is girls.
Girls.
I think it's all girls.
Okay.
So I would assume there's going to be a boys.
Yeah, they're wearing helmets, so it's a little hard to tell.
Yep, so if you look at the time, it's 11:06 right now. This shows that the 200-meter dash is going to go to 11:25. So we've got about 20 minutes until we're going to start the 200-meter dash when Robbie will be running. And that's going to give us enough time to get the two seated events, the girls and the boys, 800 in. So, Neil, while we're waiting on that...
Do you have where we can get that, the one that... The
Drew Mullenkamp?
The Drew...
Yep.
Owen recorded for us?
Correct. I need a plug to throw this into. In the meantime, do we have Robbie's in? Let's see. He didn't do a 200 yesterday, did he? Back at the studio the other day when we were doing this, he was gone before we did the 200, so we weren't able to record that one.
I believe that's correct.
But we've got about 15 minutes here. Let me see if I can get the audio coming from Owen.
Yeah, well, we were trying to fix things. Owen, as a very enterprising young man, recorded it. You may need to, sometimes when you do that, it will automatically mute it because you're putting something in and it won't let you play it loud. Is it not playing at all or just...
Lane 8.
There we go.
You look like you're leading the pack pretty well. Exactly where you need to be for that night. Coming at the 200-meter mark, and he's cruising. He is still leading. Let's just hope he doesn't die out here. I know he's got the endurance. Let's go, Drew. Let's go, Drew. All right, it's going to come down to the last 100. We're all coming in here.
I'm sure, but hopefully you can hear Owen Mormon, and Owen will team with Drew. Owen will come out with the first leg of the 4x4, and Drew will come to that finished leg of the 400.
And that's scheduled for not quite an hour from now, around noon.
Right around noon, and they're going to be the number one seed coming in. So his teammate was sitting up here rooting him on. I'm sure he's going to be down there talking to him. They're going to say, put that one behind you because you came in ninth, and we're going to go out with a bang on the... on the 800. So, again,
Something that might help us on that recording is our engineer Chuck Rohr, of course, knows how to make things work. I believe he has something at the studio that if something comes in at a low volume, it pumps it up.
Yep.
So
we'll make it loud.
you could probably hear it better than we could, but I hope it came through clear for you, but it's definitely good, and it will be in the archives along with yesterday's will be in the archives later today sometime, so you can catch those, and if you need to listen a little louder at that time, you can just turn it up there a little bit. So they're doing it's like the guys wheelchair seated.
Yep. Guys seated 800. So we'll do a little recap while we got just a moment. From a Fort Recovery standpoint, Friday night, last night, the girls 4x800 ran, which included Kiara Wendell, Cassidy Martin, Ava Bupp, and Chloe Will. They ended up in 10th place. That was the finals race, so there's no prelims and finals of that. So they ended up in 10th. So state, you know, again, tremendous accomplishment for the girls program. That was what I would call a surprise.
How did they do compared to their previous times? Were they? I was thinking that was one where they did somewhat better than, definitely better than average, but
they set the school record at the regional finals, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to pull that up and try to get that information here in just a second. Boys 100 then today, this morning, Robbie Lefevre went out in the boys 4, excuse me, in the 100. And as I said earlier, he ended up coming in, I wrote this down, came in 6th, if I remember correctly, right, in the 100. Thinking all this confusion here, I forgot to write that down. I think he came in 6th. I know he was up on the podium.
Yes, he was.
He was 6th, yeah.
Yes.
So Robbie, in his 100-meter dash career, came in 10th in, as a freshman, came in 5th as a junior, and then came in 6th as a senior at this point in time. And then the boys 4x2 of Riley Pearson, Jacob Atchison, Butch Shane, and Robbie Lefevre. They ended up, they came in seated 3rd, and they finished 3rd. So give them credit. Bronze medal, if you will, 6 points as a team. So, again, Robbie has been on that 4x200 three of those years. We made it as freshmen, we made it as juniors, and he made it his junior year and then senior year. So 13th place finish as a freshman. Last year they came in 9th. They qualified 7th for the finals, but they had a DQ on the final. They dropped the baton, and they ended up, again, finishing 9th off the podium. So this year they finished up on the podium in 3rd place. Now the boys, 4x1. So 4x2 finished in 3rd. The 4x1 came in and seated 7th, if I remember correctly. Had a couple bobbled handoffs yesterday, but today cleaned up all the handoffs and also came in 3rd place. So the two relay teams, boys 4x2 and the boys 4x1, both with a 3rd place finish today. The boys 4x1 came down in 17 and came in 8th. 2018, they also came in 8th, and so they came in seated 7th today and made their way all the way up to 3rd place. So again, another 6 points as a team, which we're, you know, happy to report. Boys 400, Drew Mullenkamp came in seated 9th, and that's where he finished. He finished in 9th place, but again, junior year, got one more year to come back to try to get up on that podium. And then Kiara Wendell just got done running in the 800 meter, and also that was there's no prelims of that one, so this was just the finals, and she ended up finishing in 9th place like Drew did, so just off the podium, and that's her sophomore year.
Yeah,
so she's
a sophomore, so she and Drew are both going to work as hard as they possibly can to kind of keep on improving and improving, and barring whatever unforeseen circumstances there might be, they will be back.
Yep.
Next year and Kiara the year after that, and just keep improving, just doing better and better each time.
So the next race that we will see from a Fort Recovery standpoint is going to be the boys 200, and that should start in approximately 12 minutes, I'm going to say, because the girls 200 will go off at 11:25. Don't think they'll speed that up, and the reason they do those times and they don't allow it to start earlier, even though they're ready out there, is because you got so many athletes that are participating in multiple events, like Robbie is,
yes,
and they want to give them a sufficient amount of time between races,
yes,
to make sure that they get a chance. Otherwise, the runners who aren't running in, let's say the 4x1, the 4x2, they would have a little bit of an advantage. We've got some winded runners, so they're going to give them at least, I believe it's 15 minutes minimum, but they want to give them a chance to go ahead and recover.
Yeah, and it seems like, what difference would 14 or 15 minutes make, but yeah, unless you've done it, that makes a lot of difference. And it's still tough, but it's doable. And mentally, you're ready for it because you know when it's going to be.
Right. So Robbie's going to come in today, seated fourth. Wellsville's Justin Wright is going to come in first. Prelims, he ran a 21.75. Josh Veer off of Kaleida came in second at 21.76. And those were your two 100-meter. They were fighting it out for 100, and the Wellsville's Justin Wright won that race. Kaleida's Bierhoff was second, if I remember correctly. Third seed for our race in the 200-meter for Robbie is going to be Harry Mills out of Columbus Academy, and he is at a 22.25. Robbie's going to come in at a 22.34, so he's going to be seeded fourth. Fifth will be Reese Cerna out of Evergreen at a 22.37. Dylan Huff out of Columbiana Crestview at 22.44. And then Eli O'Brien out of Triad, Michael Nichols out of Ottawa Hills, and Noah Carmichael out of Cristo Rey. This is has traditionally been Robbie's strongest event. If you go back and look, 2016 as a freshman, he came down here. He was fourth in the prelims and came in seventh overall. In 2017, he qualified third in the prelims again and finished fifth overall at a 22.27. And in 2018, he came down here, ran the prelims, came in second in the prelims at a 22.16, and then ran a 22.05 in the state finals and came in fourth. So he went seventh place finish as a freshman, fifth place finish as a junior, as a sophomore, fourth place finish as a junior, and of course, he's looking to improve upon that today. The winning time in each of those years, a 22.05 in 16, a 21.75 in 17, and a 21.91 in 18. So you're going to be probably in the high 21s. Coming in, it looks like, looking for the sheet here, where are we at again? So we've got a 21.75 and a 21.76 are your two best times, and those, that would have been state winning times in any of the last 3 years. So really strong field. I would say that Justin Wright from Wellsville and Bierhoff from Kaleida make this probably the strongest field of the 200 that we've seen in our 4 years of being down here.
Yep.
So Robbie has a school record in the 200 at a 21.96. So he's gone sub 22 just once, and that was in 2018. That was last year. So at that point in time, you know, if he can get down to that PR time, I hate to guess, I don't know, but Robbie missed about a month worth of track at the beginning of the outdoor season when he had pneumonia, bronchitis, and I'm not so sure that didn't hurt him more than he realized. It was just the amount of time off of the track and not as much time to get your wind back and get where you're going. So,
and especially if I had anything that's...
We're trying to determine our technical difficulties here. Girls are in the blocks. Again, Zoe Mosier. Zoe Mosier, who came out, I believe, won the 100-meter dash. It's lane four, and she's going to be the favorite here. Right here, Kennedy Gephardt is going to be running out of lane five, and Kennedy looks strong. Although Moser's out, Moser's closing. Moser's going to pass it, so Kennedy Gephardt is going to be in second. Third. Oh, Kennedy's falling back to third. Looks like
they third.
Yep, Destiny Urban out of La Brea, I believe, came on strong right at the very end. So Zoe Mosier is going to win it from Malvern at 25.35. Kennedy Gephardt is going to come in third at a 25.75. In between them was Destiny LeBray at 25.59.
Okay, so Chuck says we can't monitor the studio computer from here today, Chuck says we have sound waves going there, so
okay,
we should be in good shape.
So we'll trust and believe technology's working right now.
Yep.
Kennedy Gephardt had a good lead for the first probably 110 meters of it. And yep, then you could tell the Mosier, she just kicked it in.
She had closing speed.
Yep.
She
yep,
absolutely had closing speed. So it's going to bring us to the 200. Again,
yep,
kind of Robbie's signature event over the years, because this will be the last race that we will see Robbie Lefever run for Fort Recovery Track. As I brought up, he has, I believe he has at this point in time, 13 medals from state, I would believe, at this point in time. Might be 12. But this is his event. He has finished 6th, 5th, and 4th in this race the last 3 years. So he's going to look to try to improve upon that at this point in time.
Yep. I guess after that, we're going to have to watch him at Fordham, and then maybe after that on TV.
Yeah, that would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
Again, he is going to run for Fordham University next year out of the Atlantic 10 Conference. One of the bigger conferences, run out there by the Big East school, so he's located in the middle of New York City. He's got a little culture shock.
Yep.
He's going to be basically right next to the Bronx.
Fort Recovery is a lot like New York City.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, there's some streets and buildings.
Ours are a little bit shorter than theirs. But
yeah, a little bit.
So 7th, 5th, and 4th in the state for Robbie the last 3 years. He's going to be running out of lane 3. He's going to be watching Justin Wright, Josh Bierhoff, and Harry Mills are the three that seated in front of him in lanes 4, 5, and 6. So he'll know what he's got to do. Last race of the day, last race of his high school career. I would expect him to go out strong.
In which lane is he? I'm sorry.
He's in lane 3,
okay,
in the black
yep,
uniform.
Yep. Yep. I thought that was him the way he was there. It just looked like what he does, but I was looking at other stuff.
Probably got some song in his head right now.
Yep. That's all he's after.
Here he's up. Go.
Looked like a sluice start.
Yeah, it did. It actually just didn't look like he came out strong. I don't know how to hop coming out. He's going to come around the block somewhere in that fourth fifth range. First and second were where we expected them to be. They're out there. Robbie's going to be fourth, fifth, sixth.
Yeah, that's
somewhere in that seventh range. Yeah, just didn't seem like he got out of the blocks very well.
He looked like he was several yards behind him.
And Bierhoff got the Wellsville kid. This was his race. He wanted this one. 21:39. That is a good time. 21:65 from Wellsville. Dylan Huff is third. Robbie Lefever is going to come in sixth at a 22:47. Not a great time for Robbie. Just didn't seem like he got out of the blocks well.
So let me just ask this and see if this is a thing. He always talked about that foot drag. Would that be it? Would we maybe have done too much foot drag and slowed him down?
You know, I don't know. You know, and we're not going to, I won't sit here and tell him yes to anything. Just, you don't know.
Yeah, just trying to figure out why.
Sure.
Maybe just a split second.
You know, last race forever of your high school career, you've done 16 state championships.
Yep.
I would guess that the nerves, you know, it's kind of in his head that
yeah,
this is it.
Yeah.
And I want to go out strong, and it just seemed like he got off to a little bit of a slow start.
And, you know, a couple of years ago, I think it was that event, we watched a guy with a false start. And he may have been trying to avoid that and just held up that one split second. Because, you know, when you're talking about 200 meters, a split second is the difference between second or third and
yep,
fifth and sixth.
And again, give all the shout-outs to Josh Bierhoff. He just set a new Division III state record in the 200. So, am I right? Didn't we set a record in the 100-meter dash today at Wellsville?
Yes,
yep,
I think so.
And then we just set a new state record in the 200-meter
yep,
dash. So, Bierhoff at a 21:39.
He killed that record. It was 21:63.
Wow.
On here, it shows 21:50 is what it shows.
Maybe this
finish timing.
The state meet.
Maybe
record,
that's the
probably,
state meet. So he broke both the state meet record and the state record, not just the state meet, and the state record. And that state record had been there since 1995.
Holy cow.
So Bierhoff just broke the state record, both the state meet record and the state overall record at a 21:39. So, again, would have taken a Herculean effort at this point in time. But Robbie's going to be up on the podium again for the third time.
WSN's talking to somebody there.
WSN's right next to us again, so you guys are out there listening. 9 o'clock tonight, you'll be able to see these state finals on WSN, be able to watch them. They're not allowed to broadcast live, but they can record. So at 9 o'clock tonight, you can go ahead and go back and watch them again. So Robbie, four medals today, right? 100, 200. 4x1 and the 4x2, so he is going to be up on the podium four times today.
Yep.
So, and again, I believe...
And that is already impressive total.
Yep, so quite a career at Fort Recovery in track. Yep. I think that one, the number of medals, the number of times participating at state may stand for a little while.
It's going to be a little tough to beat, won't it?
It's going to be a little tough to beat, that's right.
Because I don't think you're allowed to do more than that, are you?
Nope, you can only have four a year. So max medals you could have is 16. Robbie made 14 races, and I believe they didn't medal twice, one with the DQ and one where they finished 10th or something. So I think he's going to finish with 12 medals at the state. So not bad. So
yeah.
Good way to end the year with four medals standing up on the podium at the state competition.
Definitely. So you want to take a quick break, or you want to, are there any of the interviews that we did that would still be pertinent?
So the races left that we have here yet are the 3,200 meters for the girls and the boys, and those are the 2 miles, so we're talking, you know, 10, 15 minutes of race.
Yeah.
And then the 4x4 girls, and unfortunately our girls, again, didn't quite qualify.
Just missed.
Yep. And then the 4x4 boys are going to be our last race of the day. That's scheduled sometime just around noon.
Yep. Yep.
So we've got about 30 minutes until the next race with Fort Recovery people, just to take a quick look at the 3,200 and see what kind of local athletes we've got running in the 3,200 at this point in time. On the girls' side, on the 3,200, we got Gwendolyn Myring out of Minster, and it's supposed to be the two Caesars. Now, the one did not run the 1,600, so whether she is...
Now, I hope that's a choice and not a physical problem.
Correct, absolutely, because that was the senior that did not run in the 1,600, so you'd hate to see her end her senior year not being able to run. And again, so that's really it for the local girls. Let's go ahead and take a couple commercial breaks. The boys, 3,200, we got Alex Albers coming out of Minster. No one else local at that point in time. So let's go ahead and we'll play a few commercials, pay a few bills. Maybe we can get a new computer back at the stadium, back at the studio that won't lock up on us this next time. And we'll be right back from the Jesse Owens Memorial Stadium here at Ohio State for the Division III State Track and Field Finals.
Fort Recovery Alumni Co-Ed Softball Tournament is coming up on June 7th, 8th, and 9th at Forsyth Park. The tournament is open to all former Fort Recovery graduates, spouses, fiancés, and Fort Recovery School District residents. Your team should consist of former classmates graduating in the same year, or as needed, you can combine classes to form a team, and each team needs to have a minimum of 5 ladies and 5 guys per team. Be sure to reserve your team spot before Monday, June 3rd by contacting Cole Wendell at 419-852-7141 or Ryan Evers at 419-733-6448. The entry fee is $100 per team. Watch their Facebook page, 2019 Fort Recovery Alumni Co-Ed Softball Tournament, for updates and game schedules. Food and refreshments will be available at the tournament, so grab the whole family and head down to Forsyth Park for a weekend full of fun and socializing with old and new friends. The 2019 Alumni Co-Ed Softball Tournament, June 7th, 8th, and 9th. Be sure to sign your team up before June 3rd. Get down there. It's always a lot of fun.
Welcome to today's game. This is Paul Keels, and you know how much I love broadcasting podcasts, but I also also love high school sports. On behalf of the OHSAA, let's all do our part to set a good example and make this a fun and safe experience for the kids involved. I know this game means so much to the players, coaches, and fans, but high school sports are about much more than the wins and losses. They teach life lessons that will be with the players long after their playing days are over. Good luck to both teams, and remember to respect the game.
We have learned that 1 in 5 teens abuse prescription medications not prescribed to them that can lead to serious addictions. This is Governor John Kasich. Drugs are destroying our communities and taking futures away from our young people. That is why safety partners like the Ohio State Highway Patrol and the Ohio National Guard have joined forces to give our young folks 5 Minutes for Life, a program dedicated to reducing drug use among Ohio teens. Learn more about the program at facebook.com/5 Minutes for Life.
The year was 1907. The Cubs won the World Series and the Ford Model R hit the assembly line. While here in Ohio, school administrators came together to form the Ohio High School Athletic Association. One thing that hasn't changed since 1907 is the dedication of the OHSAA to education-based athletics in Ohio. School sports teach responsibility, sportsmanship, and life lessons that stay with students long after their playing days are over. The OHSAA seeks to prepare students not for the next level of sport, but for the next level of life.
I would say this room here has basically every relay record in sport recovery. You know, darn near. You know, I think the boys' side, 4x8, probably. We don't have a 4x8 team there. And the girls' side, maybe the 4x1. We don't have the 4x1.
4x2, we are actually closer. We PR'd at regionals, and we were like a 148, and then the record's a 146, so we're close.
You're right there.
Yep.
But there is a whole lot of record holders here in this room tonight.
There's just one place where students are students first, and athletics are played with purpose and perspective. That place is your local high school. High school sports offer more than the joy of competition. Studies show that student athletes in Ohio are also likely to enjoy greater levels of achievement in other areas of their lives, including academics. High school sports, a living part of a complete education. This message presented by the Ohio High School Athletic Association and the Ohio Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
So we're back at the Jesse Owens Memorial Stadium here on the campus of the Ohio State University, the Division III State Track and Field Championships. We're in the middle of the girls' 3,200-meter race, so 8 laps around the track. The top two girls out there have kind of separated themselves by, let's say, 50 meters or so, and we'll try to catch who they are. While we've got a little bit of time, we're going to start going through some of the other events and see if we can find any of the local people, some of the stuff we haven't looked at. So in the girls' discus throw, it looks like a girl from Botkins, Grace Holman, came in fourth. Girl from Houston, Shelby Ayers, came in fifth. It was won by Paige Emmett out of Wheelersburg at 139 feet even. If anybody ever tried to throw the discus, you're going to know that that is a pretty darn good score. Boys high jump. For some reason, I was thinking we had some local guys in there, so we'll work our way through. Actually, here's some interesting. So the winner was Anthony Bowman out of Afrocentric at 6 feet 10 inches. Third place, Luke Lachey. And if I am correct, that would be Jim Lachey's son.
Yep.
Out of Granville Heights.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a junior, came in at 6'4", and I believe he may have verbally committed to play football somewhere.
I know he is an absolute stud at football and basketball.
Yep. So Jim Lachey's son, Luke Lachey, Granville Heights, came in third in the high jump. Nick Tangeman, a Marion local, came in ninth. Again, boy, that we seem to have a lot of ninth place finishes in the MAC at the state here, just one spot off the podium. So Nick Tangeman is a senior, if I remember correctly from what I saw out there on Twitter, had not run track at all until his senior year. So again, give him a ton of credit. Coming out as a senior, making it down to state, just one spot off the podium. So close. And Elaine, Nick Tangeman's distance was a 6'2" is where he is, and it actually looks like they started at 6, and he may have passed on that, and then 6'2", and it doesn't look like he cleared at all. So that was boys high jump. Girls long jump.
This is the one we want to give a shout out to Macy Putoff out of New Bremen. Macy is a junior. She jumped 17 feet, 2 3/4 inches for a fourth place finish at the state. So Macy Putoff out of New Bremen gonna have a fourth place finish. First place was a Carly Seifker out of Leipzig at 18 feet 5 inches. So 18.5. Macy did a 17.2.75. Doesn't look like there's any other girl out of Fairlawn. Shout out to Jeff Hobbs and everything he's done at Fort Recovery Radio. Madison Hills Camp of Fairlawn came in 11th. And that looks like all the local people that we can go out. Boys shot put. I believe there's someone from Delphus, if I remember right, that's going to be in the boys shot put. And there he is, a Braden Ladd. He's a junior out of Delphus St. John, and he came in 10th. Again, just off the podium. 10th place at a 50 feet, 6 3/4 inches. First place was Dominic Perry out of Columbiana Crestview at 62 feet, 11 inches. Wow, second place was 55 and 3 inches. So, went from 62.11 to 55.3. That's like a huge gap. Girls pole vault was scored last night. Something we're going to have to get corrected, and I'll throw a shout out to Megan Abels. Next year she should be out here doing the pole vault, because in the indoor track she went to state in the pole vault with a 10-foot clear, and we'll see her next year out here. Kenna Stimmel is a freshman out of Margaretta, cleared 13 feet and a quarter inch and won the pole vault. Fort Laramie came in 7th with Andrea Rodeheffer. That 10-foot that Megan had cleared would have put her in the 9th position. She would have been in 9th. So hopefully, she's a freshman, she'll be back next year as a sophomore.
Regarding that, Luke Lachey.
Yes.
As far as I've seen, he hasn't committed anywhere.
Okay.
But he has offers from schools like Michigan State, Cincinnati, Wisconsin, LSU as a tight end. A 6'6", 220-pound tight end. So,
yeah, I thought he's a stud from what I can remember. The boys' discus will keep on going here. Zach Gray out of McDonald at 179.06. We'll look to see if we've got any local. Newton came in 11th, Dawson Hildebrand. Delta St. John, Braden Ladd was also in the discus. He came in 17th. Looks like he fouled on two of these events and finished at 132.08. But again, made it down to state. Two different events, discus and shot. Girls high jump. Was won by Mallory Mullen out of Springfield Central Catholic, 5.07. Looking for any other local girls. Tri-Village came in 9th at Maria Petrie. Fort Laramie's Abby Rassman. We've seen her, I believe, in three other events as well. She came in 14th as a freshman. And Melissa Waterman out of New Knoxville, a freshman. It looks like she missed on her first jump at 4.10. So she comes in 17th. So again, freshman though, making it down to state from New Knoxville. Good to see them represented down here. Boys long jump, which we've talked about already, that Justin Wright, who won the 100-meter dash, also won the long jump at 23.75 inches. He came in first, as I said, and working our way down, Lincoln View Brad Cordy came in 5th. Tangeman from Marion Local came in 8th at 21.875, as I said earlier. And Jared Timmerman for Fort Recovery came in 11th in his junior year, 21.15. Jared and I believe the Nick Tangeman from Marion Local just set school records in both of those events. So, again, huge shout-out, Jared Timmerman. He's going to be up on the podium in the 4x100 and was competing in the boys' long jump. Girls' shot put. Covington's Lauren Christian won it at a 44.75 inches. And I bring up that to talk about Whitley Rammel. Whitley Rammel came in 5th in the region as a freshman for us. I believe she threw around 36. So she would have a little bit of distance to make up. But if you look through, I think it was 36, maybe 34. If you look down there, 36 would have put her in 12th place in the state. state that was 34, that would have put her in 15th place in the state. So as a freshman, wow, good distances. I'm sure she'll get stronger. And with coaches of Holly Stein-Gann and then Mr. Ogola, both who did in college, and Mr. Ogola is a all-MAC conference and all, I think all-state, or not all-state, all-country in college. I think we've got some good coaches that can help Whitley get where she wants to get to. Looking at a Houston girl, Shelby Ayers came in 14th, and doesn't look like any other local girls at that point in time. Grace Holman, excuse me, out of Botkins, came in 4th. All the Holmans out there. Boys pole vault. Yep, and as I was thinking, Brock Shellhouse out of Anzonia won the boys pole vault, and I'm not so sure he didn't win it last year as a sophomore. He's a junior this year. They have a pole vault barn down in Anzonia, and they're practicing year-round. The dad, and I don't remember his first name, helps coach. He's Coach Megan Abels. He's bringing a variety of other people along, because actually, if you look down through this, if I remember correctly, Anzonia also had Matthew Shook in the state pole vault. So Anzonia had two members make it to state in the pole vault. Brock Shellhouse brings home the winning height of 15 and 5. Minster's Brock Miller came in 11th. And Anzonia Shook came in 17th. So those are the field events. And Clayton, were you paying attention? I apologize. The girls 3200 just finished, and I did not pay attention to who won the girls 3200.
I don't know exactly, but I know she put a decent amount of ground on everyone else. Finished with a 10:52.
Springfield Central Catholics' Addie Engel just won the girls 3200 at a 10:52, as Clayton said. Good job. Jenny Sees, the girl that she did not run in the 1600, looked like she was saving it for the 32. She came in 3rd at an 11:02.
Yeah.
And between them was an Anna Gorilla from McDonald at a 10:57. So Jenny Sees may have not run the 1600 with hopes to try to get to try to win that 3,200 meter race. She came in 3rd.
I definitely do not blame her if that was the case.
When it's hot out here like that, to run a mile and then turn around and run 2 miles, that's amazing. Gwendolyn Myring from Minster came in 6th. The junior from Minster, Gwendolyn Myring, came in 6th at 11:42. Katie Sees, the other of the Sees girls, came in 9th at 11:55. Looks like all West Liberty Salem did not start. And I bring that up only because they are fighting for a championship as a team. Robbie LeFevre's down on the podium getting his 6th place medal. And they're just announcing Veerhoff both winning the state and setting the state and meet record in the 200 meter. And we were surrounded by a bunch of the Kaleida crowd. They brought similar amounts of the maroon and gold, I'll call it, from Kaleida that Fort Recovery brought, to the purple and white. So a lot of pictures being taken. Again, Robbie's last event here in Columbus for Fort Recovery, the last time in a Fort Recovery uniform. Finishes with 4 medals here at state this year. Had 4 medals last year. Nope, 3 medals last year because he dropped the baton in the relay. I believe 3 medals as a sophomore. And 2 as a freshman. Hearing all the applause in the background for the finals of the 200 for Veerhoff up there. From a team standing, out of there are 16 events scored from the girls, and it looks like West Liberty Salem has locked up the state championship unless, nope, yeah, because it's only 4x4, they can only have one team in it. So Springfield Central Catholic picked up 10 points there to close to 34. So unless West Liberty Salem would not have a team in and Springfield Central Catholic would win that final event, I'd say West Liberty Salem has that locked up. Minster was, I believe, the 2-time defending state champs, and they are going to finish somewhere in the 6th. Could make their way up to 3rd. Fort Laramie's going to come in 7th. Fort Recovery, you know, didn't make the podium in any of the girls' events, so they're going to finish at 0 points. On the boys' side, East Canton, 2-time defending state champs, and Columbiana Crestview are tied atop the lead at 36 points each.
We talked about that Wellsville. He won two events, and he came in second in the 200, and that's their 28 points. So Wellsville, can't say his name off the top of my head, but
Wright.
Yeah, Wright has come in third place by himself at this point in time. Tells you what one really, really, really good athlete can accomplish. And Fort Recovery is going to be right now in 11th place. So we're 11th. We're actually tied with Kaleida.
Yep.
So our 4x4, if we could, win it, let's just put it that way, we would be up at the 28-point mark, which right now would tie us for fourth place in the state. So, you know, I think we were hoping we could be top five. You know, it's going to take, you know, the 4x4 to hold seed and win their race, and we may have a shot, and that's depending on who's in the 3,200-meter race that's out here on the course right now. For those of you who haven't tuned in and heard a lot of the events, I'm going to do a recap of the Fort Recovery. The girls 4x800 went out Friday night. That would be Kiara Wendell, Cassidy Martin, Ava Bupp, and Chloe Will. They were just two spots short of the podium. That was a finals event. That was not a prelim. They came in 10th. So good finish for the girls. Boys 100 would have been our next event Friday. Robbie Lefevre, he qualified in 7th and I believe finished in 6th then here today. So he's going to finish in 6th place overall for his state. So he went 7th, 7th, 5th, 4th, 6th. So his 4 years, sorry, that was in the 200. I'm looking at it wrong. The 100, he skipped the sophomore year. So Robbie's going to finish in 6th place in the 100 meter. I apologize, getting my 200. I was looking at the 200 on the screen here. And then we're going to get to the boys 4x2. 4x2 is our first big successful of the day. We came in 3rd place. 3rd place finish for Riley Pearson, Jacob Atchison, Butch Shane, and Robbie Lefevre. And then turn around with the 4x100 relay of Riley Pearson, Jared Timmerman, Butch Shane, Robbie Lefevre also came in 3rd place. We got 2 3rd place finishes with our relays. Boys 400, Drew Mollenkamp, Drew qualified 9th and finished 9th. Kiara Wendell had qualified, I believe, 8th and ended up finishing 9th in the girls 800 meter today. And then Robbie Lefevre just finished the 200 meter open, and this is the one where Robbie was 7th. 5th and 4th in his other 3 trips down here to Columbus, and today he came in 6th. So he had a 7th, 6th, 5th, and 4th place finish in his 4 years at state in the 200. And then the 4x4 girls relay didn't make the finals today. They ran last night, or yesterday morning, I should say. Kiara Wendell, Cassidy Martin, Abby Francis, and Chloe Will came in a 12th place finish down here at state. And yet to run for us is the boys 4x400 relay of Owen Mormon, Jacob Atchison, Jared Timmerman, and Drew Mollenkamp. And they won the prelims. Friday night, they won the prelims. And they are going to come in seated first in that last race of the day here for the Fort Recovery Track Program. So we brought down 13 athletes to state, which would be a record for Fort Recovery. And if I looked it up right, that was somewhere around 6th or 7th as far as schools and bringing the number of athletes that they brought down to state. So kudos to the track program and the level that it has ascended to. First ever MAC championship for the boys, first ever district championship for the boys, third place finish at the regionals, and right now they're going to finish potentially top 10 in the state on the boys' side.
Out of
132 teams that brought somebody to state.
Now, is that in all 3 divisions? Or is that just in Division 3? 130-some schools had athletes here participating, and we're finishing in the top 10.
Yep.
Man. Well, I just remember that from yesterday, the 4x4. Every one of those guys just looked great. You know, we had a baton problem, not bad problem, in I think it was 4x2 maybe.
4x1.
One, yep. And which hurt us a little. It was flawless in the 4x4, and every one of them, besides the batons, their feet were awesome also.
Yep.
So in their brains, their mindset was there too, and it is there now. They are determined.
So we just heard the gun for the final lap of the boys 3200.
We had a pack of three with two to go, and then I don't know exactly who, but one person put good distance on everyone else. Well, now with half a lap to go, he's petering out, and
two passed him, right?
Yeah,
and three's coming. Yeah, number three's coming pretty good. He may catch him. There might be enough space to catch him.
So one, two, and three. There it is. Yep, three may catch two, but boy, that's the... Gotta do it in a hurry.
No.
So first play.
Ran out for him.
Yep, second and third have finished. Not seeing Alex Albers from Minstrel. He's trying to figure out where he's at.
And there's kind of a pack of four.
Drew Roberts is stopped. Out of Mapleton at 9:25.
I think we have Minster coming up here, last 20 meters.
Yep, here comes Minster. Boy, and it must be getting hot out there. We're talking again, and the guys, everybody's giving it everything they've got. Again, the number of people collapsing on the track at the end. Seems like times are fast.
We have a pack of three stragglers, and there's one behind that. So it's got to be wearing on them.
Yep,
pretty bad.
From what I can tell, if I'm remembering correctly in my head, I know there's been at least four state records broken at the state championships here. Times are getting really good. Alex Albers from Minster is going to come in 11th place in the 3200 with a time of 9:55.97.
Still under 10.
Yep, 9:55.97 for 2 miles.
Looks like everybody except four were under 10.
But so we're getting close to that noon time, and noon is when the 4x4 relays are going to start. They're trying to get it timed right. Looking down on the track, and I see Marion Local, and I see Minster.
Yep, the girls are getting ready.
Minster. So we're going to be well represented by the MAC. This event is fun. This event is fun because everybody knows it's the last event for the girls for the day. So you get the crowd, everybody's standing up, chanting, waving. They do it really nice. They bring the girls, and they'll do the same with the boys. They walk about 100 meters on the track down to the starting blocks, but right in front of the grandstand. So everybody waves to everybody in the stands. Stands get up. Everybody cheers. You know it's those last events. Typically, the finals are not decided as far as who's going to win. No, I believe West Liberty Salem has this locked in.
And you know, it was when they came by, the blue and gold of Marion Local was up jumping and cheering, but there's plenty of purple cheering, and I believe I saw some I think it was some Fort Laramie people. I'm not sure where they were from, but they were in the black. Might have been them, and you know, just everybody's kind of rooting for everybody. You got, as we've been kind of following local teams, teams that we play in various sports, especially track, but in various sports, I've been kind of trying to keep you updated on them too, because you know, those are our friends and neighbors.
So looking at the seeds coming in on the 4x4, Archibald is going to come in seated number one at a 3:59.09. So think about that. On a 4x4, that means that all four girls ran a sub 1 minute.
Yep.
You know, and only the top, I'm going to say, nine runners in the open 400 ran under a minute. So we're talking putting four girls together that are all state caliber to get where you need to get to.
And two of them are running on curves.
Yep. Incredible. Minster is going to come in seated number two. They're running out of lane five. West Liberty Salem is going to be running out of lane three. And they'll be seated number three as well. And again, I think that they've just got to score a few points and they're going to distance themselves to win the state title. Marion Local is going to run out of lane seven. So Marion's going to kind of have the higher bank turns. Let's see if I can
calling the runners to their spots. So Marion is going to run with Lynn Schwederman as a freshman, Brooke Holman as a junior, and Elena Pullman as a freshman, and Sam Holscher as a freshman. We got three freshmen and a junior out here in the state finals. That's impressive.
I remember the one year I did track, they always said that you wanted to use the blocks in the 400 because it helped you get an advantage. But here in this final, we had three teams where their starter didn't come out of the blocks.
To stand up straight up.
Yep.
I've seen more of that this year.
And that's, yep. it's really, as far as the 400 goes, it's really what you're most comfortable with, because I know when I was starting out of the blocks, I couldn't stand up out of them. But you have someone like Robbie that was in blocks since they were in the 7th grade, and it's just a matter of what you're comfortable with. So
different techniques for different people. For Minster starts with Caitlin Albers, who's a senior. Jenna Hoiker is a sophomore. Ava Greasup is a freshman, and Brandon Holm will be Madeline Magatog, the senior.
Looks like Marion's in third, getting past, so third, fourth, right in there.
But the stagger is so tough to tell.
Yeah, it is hard.
I hate to call places at this point in time, because the stagger, you just don't know. Boy, it's got to be, feels mid-80s, I'm going to say, up here in the stands, and I would say on the track, that's got to put it in the...
Yeah. Archibald in lane four?
Archibald should be in lane four.
They're falling behind.
Interesting.
They handed off last by a good 15, 20 meters. Because Archibald's kind of like a navy and gold, aren't they?
I would have said Archibald was maroon and gold.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure.
We'll take a look.
Sometimes it's a little tough to...
Because it was lane four that handed off.
It's a bright sun, but my app says it's 77, but it does definitely feel 80.
I'm just saying, down that track, it's got to feel warm.
Yeah.
West Liberty Salem has got the lead.
Guaranteed.
Now that is, and McDonald is number two. Marion Local, second runner here, is moving in. She's going to be in third place. Marion's second runner, Brooke Holman, ran a strong leg the way it appears. Well, they're going to hand off in third place at this point in time. Minster, 4, 5, 6, 7th place. So it's like Minster's in 7th, Marion Local's in 3rd. I believe it was McDonald, if I read. McDonald coming out of lane 8 is going to have the lead right now. West Liberty Salem.
She's pulling away a little bit.
Yep, is in 2nd.
Somebody just got passed for 2nd.
Looks like West Liberty Salem falling back just a little bit. Marion is still in 4th place. Got people right on her hip.
Yep.
Doing a good job of blocking. The third runner, Elena Pullman, seems to be blocking pretty darn well. Yep. She is going to challenge West Liberty Salem for 3rd.
This is going to be good.
Yep. First
good
place.
Handoff. Looks like a good handoff.
Here goes
Flyers.
West Liberty Salem. Here goes Marion as well. They're going to try to catch McDonald in 2nd. So Marion's going to hand off. Boy, I'm going to call it almost tied for 2nd.
Yep.
Wow. But on the outside, so they've got some. They got to figure out how to get to the inside. Then they fell.
Yep.
When they fell to the inside, they came in 4th. Yep. So who in the world is that in 1st? Is that Archibald in 1st?
I think Archibald's up into 4th right now from last place.
Somebody's making a move out there.
Up to 3rd, yep. I think that's Archibald.
From 5th to 4th to 3rd.
Wow.
Getting ready to pass
that
2nd.
That girl is fast.
Wow. She got the baton in 5th.
Marion's
long,
in 5th
long
place.
Strike.
Marion is in 5th at this point. That girl from Archibald can run. West Liberty Salem is going to get passed by Archibald. You're right, Clayton. My apologies.
Holy
Archibald.
Cow.
That girl is fast. First place Archibald. 2nd place West Liberty Salem. I think that's how they'll finish. Marion's probably going to be 5th. They've got to hold on. They've
hang
got
on.
Some girls coming on strong.
Oh,
come on.
Lord.
Here comes several. Minster.
Minster just passed.
Yep.
Holy cow.
Archibald comes from back of the pack.
Yeah, Archibald ran a 3:58.
Wow.
I'd like to see the split on that.
Yeah,
because the first
runner handed off 15 meters behind everyone else.
Archibald at 3:58.03. West Liberty Salem at 3:58.95. That'll lock up the team title for them. Columbus Academy, that's who I couldn't figure out. 4 minutes even. McDonald at 4:02. Minster in 5th at 4:03.18. Susanville,
Central Catholic in sixth at 4:03:46. Marion Local is going to come in seventh at 4:03:52. So 6/100ths of a second.
Clayton kind of
Liberty Benton and Peebles.
Said it just as I was getting ready to look up there. I think that's Archbold coming, and she, from the time he started saying that till the time he finished saying that, she went from sixth to fifth to fourth, and right after that was third, and very shortly was second, and about a turn and a half later, she was in first.
That was an impressive run.
That was.
If that's not one of the fastest times today, then I don't know.
I'd like to see if she was in the open 400. Because
that was crazy.
That was nuts. Let's see. Let's focus now. The boys, same thing. The boys are going to start way down to our left on the end of the track, and they're going to walk everybody down across in front of the grandstands and give everybody a chance to wave to them, cheer. Giving out the medals for the boys, 3,200 is what they're doing right now before they walk the boys. So here they come. Looks like Minster out there in lane 9. Port Recovery, seated number 1, coming in lane 4. Right next to them, the bleach blonde boys of East Canton.
Owen giving us the high sign.
Owen is ready. Again, Port Recovery is going to be seated 1 at a 3:24.97. The only sub 3:25. Mount Gilliard is going to be in lane 5 at a 3:25.58. East Liberty Center, is going to be 3rd at a 3:25.40. East Canton is going to be in 4th, seated 4th at 3:26.32. 5th is going to be Grandview Heights at 3:26. I wonder if Lachey's running for Grandview Heights.
I can pull it up right here.
I told them earlier when they were playing the OHSAA promo with Jim Lachey doing the chocolate milk commercial. I said that's conflict of interest.
He is the third leg. I'm looking it up.
For which team?
Grandville Heights. And so Grandville Heights is going to run out of lane 2. So he will be the third leg.
That might be him, number 770 down there. That looks like
that. Yeah, that should be the second leg.
Okay. Well,
so I don't have the number.
Big, tall guy.
Yeah.
Strong-looking kid.
So Grandview Heights is going to be in the blue. So we'll see. Anyway, we may follow him along. Again, a little local connection here. But what we're worried about, Port Recovery, seated number 1.
Yep.
We're going to come out with Owen Mormon, who joined us on the radio a little bit earlier.
Yep, and this is his only event today, so he's
fresh,
rested and ready to go, and he is, I would say, he's talking about his nerves a little bit, but he is mentally ready to go. He wants this, and he knows that everybody on that team with him is powerful.
Yep. He's just a great kid.
Yes.
Great kid. So Owen's going to come out of the blocks first. He'll run that first leg, that 400. I always say Owen looks really strong for about 300, and then he looks like he is just doing everything he can possibly do in the last 100 to get there.
The last leg of the 400 for Archbold, she won the individual 400 last year.
Last year.
And I assume she won it this year, so I would say the fastest girl out here in the 400.
Without a doubt, that was an impressive run.
Yeah.
So, Owen Mormon, sophomore, is going to take out our first leg. He is going to be handing off to Jacob Atchison, who ran in the 4x2 earlier today. And again, Jacob has had a tremendous track year. Jared Timmerman, who's had a tremendous track season as well, is going to take that third leg. And then Drew Mullenkamp, who ran the 400 earlier, yesterday ran one of the greatest last legs of the 400 that I've seen.
Yes.
Passing and took the baton in third.
Oh, man. He took off in the final stretch, man. That was awesome.
Here I did. My eyes got drawn to the purple uniforms in lane 5. Hey, Owen is looking strong. He is making up that stagger. And he seems to be pulling away from the guy in the lane 3 right below him, East Canton. So So again, but that's usually Owen's thing, is he comes out strong for about 300 meters, and then you can just see it on his face. He is working and working and working hard that last 100 meter to keep it up.
Yep. Let's go, Owen. The good part about Owen, though, you know he's not going to give up in that last 100 meter.
He will not.
He will drag his body across the finish line if he has to.
Come on, Owen.
He's going.
He is about level with East Canton right beside him. Again, it's always tough to make a tell based on the stagger right there. He's going to hand off to Jacob Atchison. So Jacob's going to go out pretty darn hard.
Looked like a decent handoff.
Yep, looked like a decent handoff. So, again, this is the top, the best of the best. We always like Jacob second because he's going to go about 100 yards and then a waterfall. So now he's going to go down and he's going to have to fight for position, try to find that position. And it looks like 1, 2, 3, 4. We're going to be in fifth in the waterfall position. So Jacob's in fifth. Come on, Jake. Kind of holding his own.
Yep.
He's got about a 10-meter gap.
Oh, Jacob
Center's in first.
Stretch him out.
Johanna Lincoln is in second.
Come on, Jacob.
East Canton's in fourth. Hands off to Jared. Come on, Jared. Tell you what, again, Jared, and I'm not going to put excuses out there, but Jared had to run around on the high side of the track, around some of the people in the first three spots, which cost him a little bit of time.
I don't remember exactly how the rules are, but aren't you supposed to stay immediately in your spot as soon as, because I know with the fact that everyone's together after the first... I don't know.
So we're going to stay in fifth place.
Right now.
We're staying in fifth, and I'll tell you, Liberty Center, and they came in seated third. They've got about a 10-meter lead. Then there are three guys going side by side, East Canton being one, Grandview Heights being one. Here comes Jared. Jared is trying to make up some stagger.
Yep, he doesn't have to make up places. He just has to make up yards.
Come on, go. Come on, Drew. Come on, Drew.
Come on, Drew.
We're going to get the baton in fifth. There's really nobody, I mean, six places, 30 meters behind. So we're in a solid fifth, but to catch fourth and third and second, boy, Liberty Center is out there.
So, Drew.
And again, the advantage on the 400 is when you can get out front and you don't have to run anywhere except that bottom lane.
Yes.
Come on, Drew. Just trying to make up some ground on fourth
place.
Making up a little, but second and third are starting to separate as well. So, come on, Drew. This is where he kicks it in. He is going to try to pass fourth. So we're getting up to fourth.
It's going to be tough to catch anybody.
I don't know that we can get there before he gets to the finish line. He's making up. He is making up ground on East Canton.
But we're going to have a great time, but we're going to be fourth.
We're going to run out of place. So fourth place finish. Fourth place finish for the 4x4. Got to put up some times here. 3:22:33.
Great job, guys.
3:23:36 for Mount Gilead. That's who I couldn't read the uniforms well enough. East Canton came in fourth at 3:24:02. Fort Recovery coming in at 3:25:19. Grandview Heights at a 3:25:75. Fort Laramie, I apologize for not calling you out. Came in sixth at a 3:27. Covington eighth at a 3:27. And Minster came in ninth at a 3:29. So Fort Recovery 4x4 is going to finish all underclassmen, or all non-seniors, we'll put it that way, at a 3:25:19.
I was just going to say that, because we have three juniors and a sophomore. Yep. So
we ran a 3:24:97 last night, so didn't quite get where we went to yesterday.
So we were, quarter of a second off?
Quarter of a second, yep. And quite honestly, running that same time wouldn't have got us any higher in the standings. At Liberty Center, at 3:22:33. See if I can figure out what...
Yeah, we'll we'll hang around here, figure out what approximately what place we got here, I guess. At least where we'll stand when the when these events are, well, the field events are done.
Field events are done. So this,
so we'll know.
All we're doing is looking for this last event to be scored to see where we finished as a team.
Yeah,
again,
top 10 out of 130 is great. Top 50 out of 130 would be great.
I think I was dyslexic. It's 123 total teams.
Close enough.
Yep. So the final team scores in, and East Canton is going to repeat as three-time, I think, defending state champs. They separated themselves from Columbiana Crestview. Fort Recovery, as a team, is going to come in 10th, tied for 10th with Liberty Center.
So how many points did we have?
23.
How many points did
East Canton was 42, Columbiana Crestview 36.
That's what Robbie said would win states, 40, low 40s.
He did. He said low 40s.
He said low 40s win state.
Right. So
and, you know, we could have, you know.
Yep, we needed.
It was possible for us to do that. It didn't happen, but it was
the right kid for
Wellsville.
Yes.
He came in fourth by himself. Yep. So, McDonald third at 29, Wellsville 28, Mount Gilliard 26, Fort Laramie came in sixth at 25, Afrocentric, and they are Fort Laramie's who beat us at regionals. Afrocentric came in seventh at 23, North Middletown Springfield at 23, tied for seventh, and then Liberty Center and Fort Recovery, I'm going to call it tied for ninth. They show us in 10th, not quite sure. Kaleida then came in 11th. At 18, Mogador came in 12th at 18, Ottawa Hills at 18, so Grandview Heights at 16. So I'm not quite sure if they show those as ties because they separate them. But Fort Recovery is going to be top 10 regardless. Top 10 in the state. What a successful year for the Fort Recovery track program. So one last recap before we finish up here. Girls 4x800 come in 10th. Kiara Wendell, Cassidy Martin, Ava Buck, Chloe Will. Boys 100, Robbie Lefevre came in 6th overall in the state. Boys 4x2 of Riley Pearson, Jacob Atchison, Butch Shane, and Robbie Lefevre came in 3rd overall in the state. Boys 4x1 also came in 3rd in the state. Riley Pearson, Jared Timmerman, Butch Shane, Robbie Lefevre. Drew Mollenkamp comes in 9th in the boys 400. The girls 800, Kiara Wendell comes in 9th in the state. Boys 200, Robbie Lefevre comes in 6th. Girls 4x4 relay of Kiara Wendell, Cassidy Martin, Abby Francis, Chloe Will come in 12th. The boys 4x400 relay of Owen Mormon, Jacob Atchison, Jared Timmerman, and Drew Mollenkamp come in 4th. Boys long jump, Jared Timmerman comes in 11th. So the 13 people we bring down to state with us, the boys as a team overall come in 10th in the state.
That is outstanding. That's because if you'd have said 3 or 4 years ago when we started coming down here that we would be in the top 10 track teams in the state, the only way we could do that was if Robbie did it all. And that is not even close to the way it is. Robbie's a big part of it, but think how many other guys we had that just overachieved this weekend.
I wouldn't call it overachieved, getting to their potential.
Getting their stride at the right time. Right when they needed to do it, that's when they did it. And they did it in the MAC meet, district, regional, state.
So seniors this year on the track team, from the boys' side, Robbie and Butch Shane, both are going to end with multiple medals at the state meet. Robbie's going to end up with 4 this year. I believe 3 last year, so that's 7. I believe 2 as a sophomore, that'd be 9. And I believe 2 as a freshman, 3 as a freshman, so 12. I think he's going to finish his Fort Recovery career with 12 podium finishes out of a possible 16. So kudos and congratulations to Robbie on what an outstanding track career he had here at Fort Recovery, and wish him the best of luck as he ventures off to Fordham in New York City to run in the Atlantic 10 for the Fordham Rams.
Now, that's also the same conference as Dayton UD?
Correct. Yes.
So he would be running some.
Could be out
here.
Of UD to run. That's right. You know, but they, because they're out on the East Coast, from what I looked at their schedule, they run a lot against
against the Big East and some of the other, you know, big Division I schools, so he'll spend more time out there. But you're right. They could, if Dayton hosts a track meet out here, they could end up coming here and have an opportunity to see him there.
I just don't see him going
to New York City.
No, I don't. I'm not going.
So Butch Shane's going to finish his career, and I'm going to say Butch ends up with four state medals, something like that. Again, there's not going to be many guys who end up with four state medals, you know, going through the track career. So those are the two senior boys, the only two senior boys. From the girls' side, we had four seniors, Audrey Guckenbiller and Elise Gale, and then Chloe Will and Cassidy Martin, who were both down here. Chloe and Cassidy are both going to finish their state career, having run in one, two, three, four. Cassidy ran in four state events. Chloe, I'm going to say three state events, if I remember correctly. Cassidy, boy, I feel bad that I don't know this. I can't remember how many medals she may end up with, one or two.
She's been here three of her 4 years. Only time she wasn't here was when she was hurt.
So the six seniors off our track program for Fort Recovery, we wish them the best of luck in their next endeavors. Audrey and Chloe, I believe, are going to be running in the cross country and maybe track at Tiffin. Robbie's going to be running up at Fordham, as we said. So look at a track program that's sending kids on to college and running. It tells a lot about the program that's going on. What else, Neil? I think we're ready to wrap
it
up.
We're going to try to get the yesterday's and today's stuff in the archives yet today. There's a lot of editing, a lot of stuff, plus a two-hour drive to get back home, and maybe a little lunch in between. So it may be a while, but we'll have them in there almost for sure later this evening, but for certain tomorrow, depending on what kind of problems we run into with editing and that type of thing. We shouldn't run into any, but you
never
just don't know. So
the last plug I'll put back in is two plugs. One, WOSN is here recording everything, so if you want to watch the state track meet, they will be rebroadcasting the finals here at 9 o'clock tonight and then multiple times throughout there.
Yeah, just watch their broadcast schedule.
WOSN.TV/live for live when you want to go watch it on your computer or if you've got it on television. And the last plug I'll put is, you know, we got to replace six seniors. We've got a number of eighth graders that are going to be coming up, but
freshmen that aren't on any of these events but are in the track and field program, and just keep on encouraging those guys to
keep on doing what they can, soon to be seniors, soon to be juniors, soon to be sophomores. Never too late to go out. I put that plug in. Owen and I were talking earlier. Look, you practice during the week and you're going to get a play. There's no sitting on the bench. You're going to go out, do an event, get to participate, find what you're good at. The first part of the year is all about throwing shot put, trying discus, try high jump, try long jump, try running events. You know, you're going to get a chance to try everything you want to try to see where you may be good. And let's build these track numbers, because again, Minster girls will have 30 to 40 girls each year. And, you know, we had 16 or 18.
God, when did Jared start doing long jump?
I don't know whether
he came to state.
Right. And he ran the 400 and 800 early in his career and ran the 100, you know, relay here today. So they'll find the spot for you. So let's build the track program. Let's make it strong. It's a fun time. It's a good time of the year. Get to come down here to Columbus, maybe cheer your teammates on and yourself to be there. You need atmosphere, need environment. So that's my last plug for the track program one more time. Let's keep building this thing up. Let's make it strong. So with that, on behalf of Clayton Pearson and the guy who owns the whole shebang, Mr. Neil Spencer.
And our guys from yesterday.
And our guys, Travis Sutter, Owen Mormon coming up here, Riley Pearson coming up here.
Scott Abels.
And Scott Abels.
That was here yesterday and is out planting corn today.
That's what he says.
Man, that might be a bigger victory than the state track meet if a guy can actually get in the field.
That's huge.
Thanks, Scott.
So on behalf of all of us, we thank you for joining us on FR Radio. Go support our sponsors so that we can be successful doing what we're doing. So one last sign-off from Jesse Owens Memorial Stadium here on the Ohio State University Division III Track and Field State Championships. Fort Recovery comes up with a number of podium finishers. Listen to it in the archives. Watch it on WOSN. Thanks for joining us. Have a great afternoon.
Internet radio was being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors that you heard during today's special sportscast and the sports department of Fort Recovery Internet Radio and all the volunteers of FortRecoveryRadio.com. Thanks for listening. Now we're going to send it back to the studio for regular programming.